You know, I had a really cool opportunity a few months ago to go to the country of Romania. And I met a man there. His name's Jim. And Jim had spent a long, long time actually working in that country. And he went there in the early 2000s. And he saw a problem within the country. He saw something that was heartbreaking. Is there was hundreds of thousands of orphans in the country of Romania. And Jim is a guy, when we talk about fearing the Lord and serving him faithfully, considering the great things he has done, Jim embodies that to me. Jim is a man who wasn't defined by his successes, but defined by what he wanted to do and defined by the call that God had on his life. And for Jim, what that looked like was going over and partnering with orphanages in the country of Romania. See, Romania in the 80s, before any of you were born, was actually run by a dictator. It was run by a very bad man, a guy named Ceausescu. And Ceausescu, when he was dictator, said every single person, every single family was required to have 5 kids, no matter what, 5 kids. Because he wanted to make his nation great. He wanted to make Romania the hub of all of Europe. Well, he was a really bad man. And eventually he fell because of the decisions that he made. And he, before he actually fell, he took off in a helicopter and they found him and they brought him back. And he was very unrepentant of all of this stuff. And realistically, the thousands of people that he had killed because he was too wrapped up in who he was. He was very much like King Saul, actually. And so when he fell, what happened was the entire economy fell. And so Romania now had, man, hundreds of thousands of orphans because these parents who were required by law to have up to 5 kids, well, have 5 kids or more, all of a sudden, their money wasn't good. They couldn't find food. There was no drinking water that was you know, good for them. And so they said, we can't take care of our kids. And so all of a sudden, there was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of kids who had no parents because their parents just couldn't take care of them. So they gave them to the government. And so the government established all of these orphanages. And these government-run orphanages are where these students were growing up. So Jim goes over and he sees this. And he goes back to Southern California. Jim was a home builder. He was a very successful home builder in Southern California, San Diego, actually. And he went home after seeing this, and he went to his church, and he said, look, somebody's got to do something about this. Somebody has to go in to Romania. We have to bring supplies, and we have to teach these orphans the gospel, and we have such an impact if we go there. And as he was coming up against wall after wall and nothing was happening, finally he said, well, then I'm going to do it. I'll do it. Much like the boy said, I'll do it. I'll go fight. And Jim decided to go to Romania. And he started the organization of Heart to Heart, working with these orphans. We got a video. I want you to see this video of my time and some of the other camp directors' time over in Bucharest, Romania, the largest city, one of the largest cities, sorry, in Europe. Check out this video. Oh, that was such a cool trip to be able to be a part of, to see what Heart to Heart does and the orphanages there in Romania. I was just watching that again, just kind of reminding myself how that looks like a really cool trip. I mean, we went to castles. We walked through what they could say is Dracula's castle. It was awesome. All of that stuff was so fun. We went in and we got to see the city of Bucharest, but man, that was a really hard trip. That was a really hard trip. I have a daughter. She's 2 years old. Maybe some of you guys have seen her around. Her name's Coral, and I have another baby on the way. So my wife is going to have a baby in September. And when I went into those orphanages, you know, originally I kind of thought, when you think of orphans, for me, for some reason I thought of maybe first graders through maybe your age, junior high. But I went into that hospital, and it shook me to the core. Because these babies, you saw some footage of them. These babies, many of them are, a year, not even. Some of them were 6 months. And they're found in garbage cans. They're found on the side of the road. And they're just thrown out. And as I watched that, it made me think of my daughter. You know, someone who has, been blessed to have parents. that we get to come along alongside her, and that, you know, we have the opportunity to show her who God is, so that she can be defined by God. But the orphans in Romania, they grow up in institutions, and they go from orphanage to orphanage as they age. They go from another one to another one to another one until finally they age out, basically. And they have nowhere to go. And in Romania, you're defined by your family. You're defined by the legacy that they had before you. And for an orphan, there's no one. For an orphan, they're defined by being undefined. They have no identity. And what's been cool is we talked to Jim and we talked to the people working with Heart to Heart. And what that ministry does is they go, look, we understand that this is a hard life and that you were given a bad hand here. But God wants to define you, and God has a plan for you. I don't know what your guys' stories are, but the truth is that even if through human sin, things may be bad or happening in your life, or you don't think it's what it ought to be, well, God can come in and he can define you in that. And when he defines you, he changes who you are. And that's what we got to see in Romania. We met a girl named Isabella. You're going to see here in a second. We're going to show another video. But Isabella was, when she was younger than you guys, she was, I think, 8 or 9. She came from a gypsy family, and she was in a really bad situation of abuse, actually, of being beat up. And so she ran away, and she made her way to Bucharest, and she ended up sleeping in the sewers, because when the trains go by, they bring hot air with them, and that was the only place in the winter where it was warm. She was younger than you guys, totally on her own. And, you know, she got caught, and they put her into an orphanage. And as she was in that orphanage, she got introduced to the ministry of Heart to Heart. And Heart to Heart began the process of loving her and of showing her who Jesus was and allowing Jesus to redefine who she was. There's also a man named Sendell. Sendell grew up in the orphanages. He actually grew up in a special needs orphanage for a part of his life. And if you grew up in a special needs orphanage, which a lot of students are sent there, maybe if they don't sleep well, or if there's one thing, if they have a limp, then they're sent to a special needs orphanage. And if they go there, that means that they are then deemed unfit to be a productive member of society because they were in a special needs orphanage. Now, it could be anything. It could be if they are a little bit ADD or they're a little hyper. Well, they're special needs. So they go to that orphanage, and that means that for the rest of their life, they are identified as somebody who is unfit for society. And when Heart to Heart goes in, they try to rebuild that identity, and they allow Jesus to re-identify those people. And Sendell was one of those. And we're going to see here in a second what Sendell is up to, but it's just an amazing story of restoration. People who had no future, but because of who Jesus is, he's given them a future back. And because people were faithful to the call that God put on their life, a man like Jim, who said, look, if no one's going to go, then I'll go. And this is the outcome of that. Go ahead and show that next one. I love being able to see the life of Isabella and the life of Sendell, people who were discarded, who didn't have a future. But then when the gospel came in, it changed the whole trajectory of their life. You guys are fortunate as young men and women who, you know, a lot of you spend time in church and have grown up in Christian families. Some of you have not. But you have the opportunity to respond to the call that God has placed on your life. You know, there's a cool story that Jim tells. There's actually two, but one of them is there was this 8-year-old girl, found out about Heart to Heart. She was, I think she was Googling, which is kind of funny, just different missions organizations, and somehow she got to Heart to Heart. And as she was reading about it, she was, man, I really want to do this. You know, 8 years old, younger than you. I really want to do this. So she actually got Jim's number and called Jim and said, how can I be involved as an 8-year-old? And he's like, well, you know, this is what we do, and we'd have to talk to your parents, and kind of left the ball in her court, like, oh, this is never going to go anywhere. It's an 8-year-old. And about a week later, he gets a call from her mom. And her mom says, hey, my daughter's been talking to me about what you guys do and how you guys help the orphans in Romania nonstop. What does this organization look like? And so he explains the whole thing to her. And she's like, okay, interesting. Okay. Hangs up and he goes, That's probably the end of that. Week later, dad calls. And dad goes, okay, my wife and my daughter won't stop talking about what Heart to Heart does. What is this thing? And if we were to come out there, how much would it cost me? And so he like starts telling them everything what they do and, you know, what it costs from a plane ticket. I mean, you're going from like L.A., you're going to Amsterdam, and Amsterdam to Bucharest. You know, it's a long flight. It's a long thing. Goes, okay. Well, hey, let me talk to my wife. Let me think about it, which usually means no. Let me think about it and then hang up. And again, Jim goes, okay, that's probably the end of it, but, you know, it'd be awesome if they came, but usually that means no, so, all right. A week later, dad calls back, and he goes, you know what? We're coming to Romania. We're going to come partner with you guys in Heart to Heart, but I'm not just bringing my wife and my daughter. We're actually going to bring 20 people from our church to partner with you guys, which is insane that an 8-year-old, because she wanted to see how God could use her in missions, that the whole church was coming now and was partnering with a ministry that has huge impact on the lives of orphans, all because this 1 8-year-old said, I want to do something. I want to see how I can be used. Another cool story that that Jim told me, and I love this one, is his daughter. His daughter's name is Anna, and when she was in seventh grade, so the same age as a lot of you guys, she was asking her dad what could be done with Heart to Heart. What do the orphans need right now? And he was saying, well, actually, they don't have underwear. So we need to get underwear. And she said, I can do something about that. So she started in her school, in her junior high, she started an underwear drive to get as much underwear as possible. And the crazy thing is at the end of that underwear drive, she had gotten enough underwear. She'd gotten 750 pounds of underwear, not pairs, pounds of underwear, all because she was like, let's do something. I want to do something. Orphans need this, and I'm called to do it. And so she did it. Now, here's the cool thing about the other side of that story is when Jim, he had a whole bunch of suitcases he brought to Romania with underwear, just massive amounts of underwear. He said, one of the funny things he said is they were so excited about getting this underwear because they never had any that they would wear their underwear, put their pants on, then they put more underwear on the outside because it's like, it's raining underwear. You can wear as much pairs of underwear as you want. It's awesome. I would do the same thing. So when he's on his way back, he's sitting next to a guy on the airplane, and they just start to talk. And the guy's like, so what are you doing in Romania? Oh, I have an organization. I run here. And, you know, it was really cool. We just got to give all of our students underwear. And the guy sitting next to him goes, do you need underwear? He's like, well, yeah, we do. You know, they go through it pretty quick. And there's a lot of orphans. And so we do. And he takes his business card out, and he hands his business card to Jim. And this guy is the president of Jockey Underwear. Can you believe that? And he sent 2 containers full of underwear to Romania, all because Anna, Jim's daughter, said, let's do an underwear drive. Same age as you. Let's do an underwear drive. And God took that and he ran with it. I say those stories to challenge you. What are the things now, as you're in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, what are those things that you can be doing now? What are those things that, what's the way you can partner with ministries that maybe your church already partners with? I'm sure many of your churches have missions outreaches. Maybe that's going to Mexico or that's going to Kenya or some other place, but how can you be involved in that? You know, not many of your parents are going to put you on a plane and send you to Romania. You know, it can happen, you know, like the first story. But what are those things that you can do now? I think a lot of times, as you guys are in junior high, you think you don't have an impact. But the truth is, every single one of you has an impact because every single one of you are talented in some way. Some of you are fantastic musicians. Some of you, maybe you're an awesome artist. Maybe you can play soccer really well. You're a basketball player. What are those things? What are those talents in your life that you can take and you can share Jesus through? One of the things that I do, I love photography. That was when I was in high school, I got really into photography. And so I started, I did a bunch of traveling in my younger days. But what I would do is I would take my camera and I would go out to these villages where I was traveling or backpacking, and I would be taking photos and just kind of start friendships. And in that, I would always take my camera and I would take it off my neck, the strap, and I would hand it to the people I was talking to. And I'd say, you take pictures. And as they start taking pictures, usually they would take a ton of pictures of me, which is always kind of funny. And then they would take pictures of their friends who are around or their house that they live in or the store across the street. And they're just taking photos. And we just start to talk. And all because of the fact that I let them hold my camera and use my camera. But as we talked, they'd say, why are you here? Why are you in this country? And I'd say, well, you know, I'm hanging out with some missionaries, or I'm doing some work here. I'm just traveling because I want to know more about you guys. And it was always a really cool thing when I could make that transition to say that really I was there because I wanted to see Jesus in their life. I wanted to see what Jesus could do to their culture, because Jesus redeems. He redeems the life of orphans. He redeems whole cultures. And all because I liked something, because I liked photography. And for you, what do you like? What are the things that you're good at? What are the things you're passionate about? Because those things are what's going to give you relationships with other people who are like-minded, who like those things as well. If you're a soccer player, soccer is the biggest sport in the world. How can you use that? What does that look like in 10 years? When you're early 20s or in your 30s and you go, hey, I still like soccer. What can I do? How are you going to take up that call? The other thing I want to talk to you about is how you use your time. I think a lot of times we just kind of waste time. We spend a lot of time on our phones. I'm guilty of that. But how you use your time now is going to dictate how you use your time in the future. As you're an adult, I want to challenge you guys that as you go home, that you're spending time with your leaders, that you're spending time in your churches, that if you're going to learn how to be a productive Christian, or if you're going to learn how to be a follower of Christ, you're going to learn that in your churches and being around people who are already doing that. Go to your youth groups. Ask your youth pastors, what are the missions things that our church does? How can I be involved? There's something I know a good missionary friend, and one of the things that he says is you're never too early to begin practicing the habits of a missionary. And the habits of a missionary are people who use their talents, people who use their time wisely. And that's what you guys can do now. I'm not saying all of you guys are going to end up overseas. That won't happen. But I do think in a room this size, there's many of you who feel the tug on your heart into what missions can look like for you. For Jim, it was going to Romania. For some of my other friends, it was going to Kenya. For my good friend Luke, you guys know Luke, the rec guy, it's going to Papua New Guinea. He's going to spend some time with you guys actually tomorrow if you guys want to sit with him. But he's going to talk to you guys about what's next in his life. And that is translating the Bible in the jungles of Papua New Guinea. And all because he said, I want to fear God and serve him faithfully because of the good things he's done in my life. And those good things, when you recognize what that is, which is his son dying on the cross for us, it's when you give back. It's when you want to follow him and do what he asks of you. Guys, today, out on the deck, we're going to have a lead counselor, and a lead counselor is going to have some cards. And on those cards is pictures of many of the orphans that Heart to Heart works with. And on those cards, there's that card, and then there's another card that comes with it. And for $10, that money's going to go straight back to Heart to Heart. But for $10, you get that card, and you get a little card for their website, so you can see kind of what's going on there on their website. But that $10 is going to go back so that many of these orphans who maybe have never gotten a birthday gift or Christmas gift or never gone to camp, that money goes to supporting that. So that Heart to Heart can go into an orphanage and bring a birthday present, something that all of us take for granted, but an orphan has never gotten. So they bring those birthday presents. They bring Christmas gifts. And that's a really cool way for you guys to partner with Heart to Heart. But I want to challenge you, if you do that, that it's not just that. It's also praying for the student, that card that you got, and being involved, finding more ways to be involved with Heart to Heart. You can go on their website when you get that, and you'll be able to learn more about that. But an awesome ministry, a ministry that we at Hume, we believe in, we love. Man, just to see the faithfulness. When you see people who are faithful like that, oh, it's awesome. How can you be faithful? That's what I want to challenge you with today. So at 1:15 out on the Human Beings deck, there'll be some leads out there with the cards. You guys can check that out. And then tonight at chapel, actually, Hume has we actually have another thing called Hume International. And Hume International, what we do is stuff like this. We go over and we get to see organizations who are following Jesus and sharing the gospel overseas. So that was a part of Hume International, being able to see that and show you guys what that is. But we also, we run camps, much like what we're doing here, but we run camps overseas for missionary kids. So in November, we're going to be going to Papua New Guinea, and we're going to go out to the bush of Papua New Guinea, and we're going to run camp for about 200 missionary kids in the middle of Papua New Guinea. We also go to Thailand. We're going to be going to Chiang Mai, where we run camp for about 500 missionary. And actually, what's really cool about that is diplomats and ambassadors' kids as well, kids who didn't grow up in Christian homes. But we get to bring camp to them and show them what Jesus has for them. But tonight, we're going to do an offering. And if you feel led to give towards Hume International, that we can continue to run camps for students overseas, giving them the opportunity to experience what you're experiencing here this week. But also, as we partner with those ministries over there, just such a cool, cool thing. So we're going to do that tonight. If you feel led to bring money for that, that is awesome. If not, that's awesome as well. You don't have to do that. And then what we're going to go into next, actually, for about the next 20 minutes, I'm going to ask that you guys get with your cabins. I want you to spend time with your cabins. You guys can go back to your cabins, or you can find a nice shady spot out on the meadow or back here at Archery. And I want you to spend time with your cabins praying for the ministry of Heart to Heart, praying for the country of Romania, but also praying for any of the missionaries that your church is involved with. Any of the missionaries that maybe you guys support. Because that's difficult out there for a missionary. And they covet the prayers of the body of Christ, which is what we are. We are the body of Christ. They covet those prayers. And we want to lift them up and pray for them. But also, I want you to talk with your leaders about ways you can be involved. Maybe brainstorm. What is it that we, as a group, a cabin of middle schoolers, what can we do that's going to make a change or make... Yeah, make a change in the life of other people with the gospel. So in a second, I'm going to pray here in a second, but as you leave, I'm going to ask that you guys get with your cabins and that you're praying for global missions, for Heart to Heart, for Romania, and ask how you can be involved in what your church is doing overseas and how you can be involved in practicing the habits of a missionary now as a 6th, 7th, 8th grader. Directly after that, sorry, I just want to make sure you guys know this. Directly after that, you guys are going to get ready for recreation today, which is Spirit Day. So as soon as you're done with your cabins, go back to your cabins, and then you're gonna get on. If you brought a costume, if you brought anything, put that on. But we've got Super Spirit Day today, which is going to be awesome. But for now, let's pray, and then you guys are hanging out with your cabins. Heavenly Father God, I just thank you for what you do, for the fact that your gospel is universal, that your gospel can affect the lives of people all over the world because of what Jesus did for us. Father, I pray that as we spend time just asking you how we can be involved and asking you for wisdom and what it would look like for us to go to serve you, God, that you'll put on our hearts what that looks like for us. Father, we praise you for the ministry of Heart to Heart. one amongst many amazing ministries out there who are spreading your gospel, God. We pray for the ministry there and the orphans in Romania. Father, that you'll just bless that ministry and that we'll see so much fruit come out of the fact that Jim was faithful to serve you, was faithful to take up the call. God, I pray that in this room there are young men and women who one day will end up potentially overseas, spreading the gospel in countries that maybe they don't even know what that name of that country is yet. God, I also pray that there's young men and women in this room who will stay in their city and be missionaries of their city, people who will share the gospel amongst the places of this country. God, we love you. We pray for a great day, and God, I just pray for a safe day as well. In your name, amen. All right, go meet up with those cabins.